Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, the basis of our meditation this day is the gospel lesson. You may be seated. As you can tell by the pyramids and the festive nature of today's service, we are pausing in our church's calendar to commemorate the evangelist Saint Mark. Now, this gospel writer is certainly remembered for his notation in the 14th chapter of his gospel about a young man who lost his robe and flees naked out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Could this man have been John Mark, as many suppose? We also know from the book of the Acts of the Apostles that Mark was traveling with his cousin Barnabas, who was also teamed up with the apostle Saul. They traveled to Antioch. He was taken in as an assistant on this, the first missionary journey. Now, when this missionary team changed leadership, and it changed from Barnabas and Saul to Paul and Barnabas, well, Mark left them. He left them in Perga at Pamphylia and returned to Jerusalem. There are many who surmise that when Paul assumed the leadership role of the team, taking it away from Mark's cousin Barnabas, that Barnabas decided that he didn't want to be a part of the team anymore, and so he abandoned them. We know things were a little tense between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas because Paul refused to bring John Mark on the second missionary journey, and that resulted in a breakup of the team of Paul and Barnabas. I wonder what a first-year seminarian would learn from these two incidences in Mark's life. Well, I would imagine that a first-year seminarian would say, when one puts on his robe, he should make sure that he is properly attired underneath of it. And I think the second thing that a seminarian might learn from this is that if you are ever involved in a team ministry, make sure that the senior pastor's name is not Paul. Mark was certainly a faithful servant of the Lord. We know from scriptures that he was a companion at Peter's side. And we also learn from the scriptures that later, whatever broke up Mark and Paul was resolved. He was reconciled to St. Paul, and we also learn that he served him. Of course, Mark wrote the gospel that bears his name, although he is not mentioned by name in the text. Mark was, as our text for today from Luke's gospel says, he was one of those workers in the harvest field. And in the early days of the church, the abundance of the harvest was readily apparent, and the need for workers was also paramount. It was the good and gracious will of the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And you and I know that tradition continues to this very day. For this past Monday and Tuesday evenings were very exciting times here at our seminary. I remember well receiving my vicarage placement and also my placement into the first congregation where I would serve as pastor. It certainly was an exciting time for me. It was also very humbling. There was also some anxiety. And yes, even fear. We also live in a time when the abundance of the harvest is readily apparent, and the need for workers in the kingdom is still paramount. And it is the good and gracious will of the Lord of the harvest to continue to send workers out into his harvest field. God, in his grace and mercy, has granted you who are here this day that wonderful privilege of preparing to serve him, preparing to serve his church in the vineyard of the world in which the church exists. And while you and I know we are never of this world, we must never forget that we are indeed in the world. And as we go about doing the Lord's business, we do so with a certain amount of intensity, as did those in our text. We are not to be distracted from the task that is at hand. And what is that task at hand? It is the clear proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like those in our text who were sent out, many of you present today are here at great personal sacrifices. The luxuries of life, perhaps once enjoyed in a former occupation, have now been set aside. The hours of reading, studying, writing, thinking through those challenging theological concepts, wrestling with the original languages and the many nuances of the meaning of a text have taken their toll. But there is always that joy that comes when the Lord of the harvest beckons and says to you, "Go on your way." For many on this campus, that time has come. And for the rest of you, it is coming, and it will be here soon. And with what do we go on our way? What do we bring? Well, certainly we bring not the things of this world. Rather, we bring the Lord's peace. Eirene to oiko tuto. Peace to this house. As Dr. Just would have all of us know, this is an eschatological greeting of the Messianic Kingdom. The words of Zechariah spoken in the Benedictus near the beginning of Luke's Gospel end by telling us that this child comes to direct our feet into the way of peace. The peace of God is a major theme in Luke's Gospel. It is the peace proclaimed by all of us who are privileged to work in the harvest and bring the message of the risen Savior. When you speak these words of peace, you are repeating the very greeting that Jesus spoke to his disciples after his resurrection. The message was on the lips of those who first proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior of all. They came bringing the message of God's peace. And we cannot doubt that this message of peace was on the lips of the evangelist Mark, and this message of God's peace in Christ was recorded by his pen. As you continue your studies, as you work in his vineyard, may you be encouraged by the young evangelist John Mark. Take your lessons well, and remember to be sure that when you put on your robe, you are properly attired underneath. Always watch out for guys named Paul and work vigorously in the harvest field, bringing God's message of peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.